Ruth's Reward, Chapter 1. The Old Farmhouse. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Psalm 104, verse 24. Once upon a time, in an old-fashioned farmhouse, lived a little girl whom we will call Ruth. Very likely many of you who are reading this have been in the summertime to a farmhouse, and perhaps you have played round its old-fashioned doors and windows, or looked into its many outbuildings and barns, to say nothing of the pleasures of seeing the young life about the farm in the form of chickens, ducks, pigs, lambs, calves, and kittens. You have, too, enjoyed the lovely farmhouse butter and fresh eggs for breakfast and tea, and have thought how very nice it must be to live at a farmhouse, or at any rate in the country. Well, it is very nice to be in God's open country and see the wonderful handiwork of God around us, not only in the trees and fields, but also in the marvelous instinct he has given to all his creatures. And one is ready to exclaim, "His glories blaze all nature round, and strike the gazing sight, through skies and seas and solid ground, with pleasure and delight. Infinite strength and equal skill shine through the worlds abroad, our souls with vast amazement fill, and speak the Builder, God." The house where our young friend was born was surrounded with tall trees, and it was situated in a very pretty part of the country of the county of Sussex. It was a real old-fashioned place, with ever so many doors and little windows, and in the living room there was a wonderful fireplace, not at all like our fireplaces which have grates to place a fire in, but what was called a down fire. That means the fire was all on the hearth. And if, when there was no fire, you had looked up the large chimney, you would have seen the sky. You could put huge logs of wood on the fire at one time, and on either side of the fireplace there were cozy little places called chimney corners. Ruth used to love to sit in these chimney corners with her own cat named Joe in her arms, and think and imagine all sorts of things in her active little brain as she watched the flames and sparks go up the chimney. She was particularly fond of the old cat, and I believe that when it died it was properly buried, and all the children of the family followed it to its grave. At other times she would sit on her father's knee and learn her letters out of the big old Bible. At the time our story opens, she was about 12 years old, and though living in such a beautiful part of God's earth, she was not without the trials and troubles which, more or less, all boys and girls are born unto. About 9 years before this time, she could just remember seeing her own dear mother lie dead. Of course, she was too young to understand very much. She knew her mother had gone to heaven, and she would sometimes watch the clouds to see if she could see her once more. Like other children, she was very pleased with her new clothes when her mother died. But her good old grandmother put her hand on her little head and said, "Ah, my dear, you little know what it is to be left without a mother's care." Ruth had a kind father, but sometime after her mother's death he married again, and I am sorry to say this stepmother was not always very kind to her. By this time she had several other brothers and sisters younger than herself, of whom she was very fond and loved to play with them in the orchard and garden. There is also one other sad thing I must tell you about Ruth. She was born with crippled feet. In addition to this, she often suffered much during the winter from broken chilblains, which, not being properly attended to, made her poor feet worse, so that as she grew older she was less able to run or walk about than other children. Oh, dear young friends, how much we have to thank God for, if we have health and strength and can see and speak and hear, and yet how little we think of these mercies. There is so much sadness in the world, and wherever we go we may see it. And I am sure you have heard many times the account of the fall of man, after God had made Adam and Eve and had placed them in a beautiful garden, where there was no sorrow or suffering because there was no sin. God told them that they might freely eat of all the trees of the garden except of one tree. We cannot imagine how great was the happiness of Adam and Eve, with everything around them to add to their comfort. All the animals were under their control, and the earth brought forth food for them to eat. There was no anger or lying or any other sin there to cause pain or sorrow, and to crown, as it were, their happiness, God walked and talked with them in the garden. Then the Bible tells us how Satan, in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve, and she took of the forbidden fruit and ate of it, and gave some to Adam, and he did eat. After this, the sad account goes on to tell how they were ashamed and hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. But neither they nor we can hide from God, who searches the heart and even knows every thought as well as every action. He condemned the guilty pair, and they had to leave the beautiful garden and were never allowed to enter it again. God, however, in his mercy, promised even in that garden that he would send them and their children a Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps some of you have thought that you would not have acted just like Adam and Eve. But if any of my readers think this, let him or her remember the many times they have done that which was wrong, and then they will not be able to say that they are better than Adam. How much, dear boys and girls, we need each and all to seek for pardon through the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can cleanse and keep us from sin.